keep up with Team USA with gig speeds over Wi-Fi from Xfinity. Can your internet do that?
Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Requires gig internet and compatible gateway. Gig speed Wi-Fi is shareable across all devices. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Xfinity, proud partner of Team USA.
2021 is the 25th anniversary of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, the last comprehensive update to internet regulation. The internet has experienced more than a few updates since 1996, but internet regulations have not. That's why Facebook supports updated regulations on key issues like preventing election interference, protecting people's privacy, reforming Section 230, and more. See Facebook's progress on key issues and what's next at about.fb.com/regulations.
You've heard the screamers, the shouters, the haters, the beraters. Now it's time to listen to real conversation. Rational conversation. Now it's time for the Rick Unger Show. And now, here's Rick Unger.
It's a Thursday edition of the Rick Unger Show. So much going on, so much to talk about, that I think we better just jump into it and get started. Certainly, you have by now heard that Bill Cosby left his jail cell yesterday. Certainly, for the last time in the state of Pennsylvania. I say that because while I do not believe that Mr. Cosby can be prosecuted in the state of Pennsylvania any longer, that's not to say something couldn't arise in another state. So we got to take a look at this from a legal point of view, from the reaction that so many people are having in objection to what happened here for reasons that are obvious. Joining us to dig into this is Christian Nunez. She is the president of the National Organization for Women. We know them well by the acronym NOW. That is, of course, the largest organization of feminist grassroots activists in these United States. Christian, really appreciate you joining us today.
Yes, thank you for having me, Rick.
It's our pleasure, to be sure. Let's begin with just the top line question. Your reaction to Bill Cosby going free yesterday?
Well, you know, our reaction, it is very upsetting. It's very disappointing to see that Bill Cosby was released on a technicality. You know, this was I think just all the survivors, all of the women and the effort of activists and women who just for so long came forward, the survivors who came forward to really put themselves out there to witness him and had some type of like relief and catharsis when he was convicted, to turn around and 2 years later to see him released on a technicality. It was a big blow for this community.
Well, you know, let me just say this at the outset. I certainly understand your feelings. I should state very clearly that I do believe that Mr. Cosby was guilty of what he went to jail for. What's more, I believe he's been guilty in quite a few other cases that he did not get tried on. So there is certainly no sympathy coming from me towards Bill Cosby. He is very much an unsympathetic defendant in my view, and I think clearly in your view. But I have to admit some concern when I hear, and I've been hearing this a lot from a lot of advocates, that he was released on a technicality. I take some disagreement with that. I don't think it's a technicality when somebody's due process rights have been violated, no matter how much I might dislike that defendant and not shed a tear that that person is sitting in a jail cell. I don't think that's a technicality. Do you?
Well, Rick, I think that when we look at, you know, we talk about due process rights, and I think that when we're talking about with due process, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about the right to be, you know, for a person to active participation or a counsel and advisor, the right to confront your accuser, the right to have meaningful notice of hearings, the right to be heard. You know, there's so many rights that to follow their due process rights. And I think a lot of
and
times
that's a good thing, isn't it, by the way?
They're absolutely great things. But I also feel that a lot of times these same due process rights are not afforded to survivors and victims. And so a lot of times the same system of the court, I think, that, you know, it's not fair and it's not balanced. And we always talk about, you know, making sure due process rights are given for those accusers, but we don't really make sure that they are given to victims and survivors. And so
I could not agree with you more on that statement, but I'm going to push back a little bit. I completely agree with you. Not only are the victims often not rewarded with their due process rights, but we know for a fact that if you don't have the wherewithal to pursue your rights in this country, that often those rights are denied. Nevertheless, can any of that add up? I mean, we have an old saying in the judicial system, and that is that it is better for 10 guilty people to go free than one innocent person to remain imprisoned. So as you take the reality of everything you're saying, and I very much agree with you, does that justify violating the rights of another person who we are not sympathetic towards? To me, the solution is not to say that, hey, yeah, we kind of did you in on your rights here, but you know what? What about all those people you hurt? What about them? Isn't the solution to make sure that those other people, those victims that you're referring to, that they receive their full due process rights?
I absolutely agree. I absolutely agree with you. I agree with you that I don't believe it's about violating anyone's rights. I believe it's about making sure that everyone's rights are given to them equally and equitably from the very beginning.
So isn't there a bigger issue here then? I mean, as much as we hate the idea of Cosby walking out of jail, isn't there a bigger issue?
You're right, Rick, and I think that's what we have to talk about, the bigger issue of how the judicial system continues to fail survivors, right? So we can talk about Bill Cosby, but Bill Cosby is just one case. It's not just Bill Cosby. It's about the judicial system, legal system continuing to have so many errors that it continues to fail, you know, victims and survivors, because we're lacking to make sure that because maybe they don't have the resources, financial resources, the economics, or because they don't have the, the knowledge or the, a lot of times it's the resource, the economic resources that prevent them from having this full due process, or because of the emotional state they're in, and how it's interpreted, and also because of the stigma and the perception that our law enforcement and those who are investigating lack training to understand fully what trauma looks like and post-traumatic stress looks like and how that is perceived, and they don't have training to understand trauma-informed care, that they aren't doing what they're due justice to victims and survivors to make sure that they are given the resources they need so they can have the adequate care and treatment and referrals. They need to make sure they're going to the court system fully equipped and fully prepared. So this is beyond Bill Cosby. Absolutely.
It is. And I really like the line you're following there. I have to say, I've been a little bit turned off by advocates over the past 24 hours, especially lawyers, who are not speaking the truth about this. And I'm afraid it's because you see too many people who make their living on these kinds of lawsuits, and they don't want to lose any business. In the meantime, they are completely ignoring fundamental judicial rights. The tack that you're taking makes sense to me. In other words, you know, I can't tell you how many snarky comments I have heard saying, if Bill Cosby wasn't rich, he'd still be sitting in jail. Well, that's not the issue, because just because you're rich doesn't mean that you should be denied your basic judicial rights. What should matter is all those other people who aren't rich, who never get to pursue their legitimate claims because they don't have the money to do it. That is where the focus needs to be.
Absolutely. And this is even why we have to push, you know, legislation that provides grants and resources like reauthorization of the VAWA and VOCA, women violence, for criminal, the violence offenses for criminal acts, and making sure there's grants and the reauthorization of VAWA and violence against victims of crime, so that there are grants and their fundings and programming that is going to provide the different resources holistically for victims of sexual assault, domestic violence, harassment, sexual harassment, so that they are provided these resources, like through healthcare, housing, court, all these different services. And there's also training giving to providers and first responders as well, so that it's not limited to just expecting and all the burden put on the person who is the survivor, who's going through so much. I mean, can you imagine if you have just been sexually assaulted or raped, and then everyone's expecting you to be in the right mindset to then try to process court, understanding the court system, understanding what to do and follow. Yeah. And you're going through this trauma, not only physically to your body, but also your mental, emotional, and spiritual capacity. So then you're supposed to then therefore be able to navigate through this system while you're still trying to process and then carry on your life like as if nothing happened. That is unfair, and that's the undue burden that we placed on survivors and victims. And so I think that it is partly our responsibility as a collective whole society that we consider what we need to be providing to assist to take care of our people.
A completely reasonable and important point. Christian, let's take a break here. When we come back, I want to go back a little bit in time here and talk about the nature of this agreement between a prosecutor that we all came to know for another reason, whether he was completely inept, whether this was appropriate. I really want to get your take on that. We're going to do that when we continue with Christian Nunez, president of NOW, National Organization for Women, here on The Rick Unger Show. We'll continue the discussion right after this.
Call Rick now, 833-711-7425. That's 833-711-RICK.
No matter where you serve your country, you can be orange with an online degree from Syracuse University. Our online degrees can be completed anywhere on your schedule. If you're a member of the active military, your tuition assistance covers 100% of tuition when you enroll in a Syracuse University part-time online undergraduate degree program. Learn while you serve, expand your career options, and become part of the global Orange Network. Find your fit at syracuse.edu/online.
Fracture prints your digital photos directly onto glass, making your favorite moments come alive in vivid color. Hand-assembled in the USA, Fracture glass prints are a unique and beautiful way to display and share your favorite moments. Simply upload your photo at fractureme.com, select your size, and your glass print will be shipped to you, ready to hang with just one screw. Use code POD15 to get 15% off your order today. That's code POD15 at fractureme.com.
2021 is the 25th anniversary of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, the last comprehensive update to internet regulation. The internet has experienced more than a few updates since 1996, but internet regulations have not. That's why Facebook supports updated regulations on key issues like preventing election interference, protecting people's privacy, reforming Section 230, and more. See Facebook's progress on key issues and what's next at about.fb.com/regulations.
This is Rick Unger, and I want to thank you for listening to the Rick Unger Show Daily Podcast. Now, to listen to the full show ad-free, go to rickungershow.com and click on Premium Podcast at the top of the page.
Get real. Get rational. Get Rick. The Rick Unger Show.
Welcome back to The Rick Unger Show on this Thursday edition. If you are just joining us, we have been speaking with Christian Nunez, who is the president of the National Organization for Women NOW, discussing, well, the ramifications, everything that goes along with what happened yesterday as Bill Cosby left his prison cell where he had been serving time for a sexual assault on a defendant who, we'll get into some more of that in just a minute. Christian, we appreciate you staying with us for another segment. I want to go back a little bit because, you know, some of the things that I've heard are people saying, well, gosh, if Cosby could walk like this, well, then is Harvey Weinstein next? Is this going to have some kind of long-term impact on these types of cases, sexual assault, rape, you know, all these terrible things that people will do? And I'm not sure that those are fair criticisms. I don't don't think you have the same circumstances in the Harvey Weinstein case. There were no agreements reached. Now, what this is all about is the prosecutor in this particular Pennsylvania county had come to the conclusion, and I should add, the prosecutor's name was Bruce Castor. And if you know that name, it's because it was the same Bruce Castor who so ineptly represented Donald Trump in his impeachment trial. I mean, he was just bizarre. Well, this is the same man who was this prosecutor who said to, he had come to the conclusion that, you know, I don't have a good enough case here. There's not enough evidence here. I'm troubled by the fact that the victim in this case continued to see Mr. Cosby for a period of time after this allegedly occurred. I'm troubled by the fact that it took her a year to ever report this. All of these things suggest to me that I may not be able to win this case. So Mr. Castor would tell you that he acted out of nobility, that since he didn't think he was going to be able to bring a criminal prosecution, he thought, well, at least I can help her to win something in a civil case. So he cuts a deal with Cosby where he says, look, if you will not avail yourself of your Fifth Amendment right to stay silent when you are being questioned and deposed in the civil case, then I promise you I will not use anything that you say which would be against your interest in a criminal trial. I will not use those to bring a criminal charge against you. Now, that was never put in writing. I don't think it has to be. It would had to have been if the prosecutor had denied ever reaching that agreement. I think that would be a problem if it wasn't in writing. There would be no proof of the agreement. Some people are suggesting that the court would have to approve it. That's simply false. And I wish that the young woman who was one of the prosecutors in the case that's been dismissed would stop saying that, because she knows better. Judges don't make prosecutorial decisions. So, you know, should he have done that, trying to help out the victim in a civil suit? That is a matter of opinion. I wouldn't have done it, and I certainly wouldn't have just done it orally, and I would have left a lot of room. But is it Mr. Castor, Christian, who we should be blaming for the fact that Bill Cosby walked free?
Well, I have a couple problems with this.
Okay.
I mean, I guess there's more room for clarification. And it's like, did he actually get the full consent and agreement from, you know, the victim to go forth with this deal?
Well, he didn't have an obligation. I doubt that he did get the full consent. I've seen nothing to suggest that he did. But then prosecutors don't have that obligation.
And I think this is part of the problem in our system, right? And if he's, because the prosecutor is working on behalf of the victim, and I think this is part of the problem in our system, legal system, and if you're working to make and you're making these agreements, and this the victim is feeling you're working on their behalf, and you're making an agreement where they think that you're working on their behalf, and you're making these side deals, and they're feeling differently, I think that's part. That's just where we come. Where they're feeling you're vindicating for them, and then here you are making this deal, and then later on we find out that.
Let me jump in on that, if I may, and it ties into what you were talking about in the last segment, because in reality, the prosecutor is not working on behalf of the victim. The prosecutor is working on behalf of the people. And what you're saying here, it suggests a potential solution. Should the victim be given their own attorney, and should there be laws that suggest that any agreement the prosecutor might make, even right down to bargaining for sentence time, plea agreements and all, should that be subject to the approval of the victim's lawyer? I actually would support that, but that's not what we have right now.
But if you think about that, Rick, it's interesting, because when a defendant is given an attorney, the attorney is working for the defendant,
yes,
correct?
That's right.
So why is the prosecutor not working for the victim?
It's a fair question.
It's not a fair system.
Well, okay.
And it's not a fair system. So therefore, we have a prosecutor working for the people, a defendant working for the defendant who's working the best interest of the defendant, who keeps everything the defendant says in confidence for the defendant, but the prosecutor's not working for the best interest of the victim. So therefore, they can make deals on their own without having full consent agreement of that victim. The victim may not know and have full consent or full agreement. So therefore, the due process rights, and I'm not an attorney, but I'm just going off my mind.
I hear you. Let me give you a counter to that. And don't think I'm not sympathetic to what you're saying, because I am.
Yeah.
And I think right. there could be solutions to it. But here's the potential problem. Victims, quite understandably, do not want to stand for much of anything other than full conviction. Now, if you've got a prosecutor who says, listen, I get that you want to see this person who hurt you behind bars forever. I get it. I feel the same way. But I don't think I can do it. So I have certain choices I can make. Now, if I have to do what you tell me to do, victim, and this guy ends up walking free, and I always knew that that was going to happen, but you wouldn't go along with it, I have not served the public, because I have allowed somebody who I believe is a guilty person, a dangerous person, a person who might go out and do this to more women. I'm allowing them to walk out into society because I was forced to listen to you and not good judgment. See the problem?
And this is where I feel that once again, we are disempowering survivors because we make the assumption that we know what they want. And we have to believe and stand with survivors. And this is where now believe we have to believe and stand with survivors. And we have to give them the option and support them and give them their services. And so that's where I'm coming from the standpoint, is that we have to work and organizations have to work and systems have to work to believe and stand with survivors and give them this full right to be able to say, well, here, let's find out what it is. Right. We don't know. Everyone doesn't want the same thing. Everyone has free autonomy to make their own decisions and choices. If we go into making assumptions that they all want the same thing and they're all going to react the same way, then we're removing their free autonomy and we're removing their rights and their decision-making.
Christian, I got to wrap up. I apologize. Okay. I got to wrap up because I'm out of time. But go ahead. Finish real quick.
So all I'm saying is I think that our system is where we need work, and we need to continue to provide services so that we can have a system that is fully fair.
Well, you know what? I mean, the bottom line here is I agree with you very much on the key points. Victims do have to have more protection. Certainly in these types of cases, it is just such a complicated issue. And I really hope that those who are advocates for women, and God bless them, I support each and every one of them. I hope they'll get more realistic about what the goals should be coming out of this experience. Christian, can't thank you enough for your time and your thoughts. Christian Nunez,
thank you so much.
President of the National Organization for Women. Christian, come back on again.
Yes, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. We will continue with the Rick Unger Show right after this.
Want a rational conversation? Call 833-711-7425. 833-711-RICK.
Thanks for listening to the Rick Unger Show daily podcast. You can hear the rest of the show ad-free by going to rickungershow.com and clicking on Premium Podcast at the top of the page.
2021 is the 25th anniversary of the Telecommunications Act of 1996, the last comprehensive update to internet regulation. The internet has experienced more than a few updates since 1996, but internet regulations have not. That's why Facebook supports updated regulations on key issues like preventing election interference, protecting people's privacy, reforming Section 230, and more. See Facebook's progress on key issues and what's next at about.fb.com/regulations.
Has it been a while since you flipped that thermostat from heat to cool? Turn to the experts at Griffith Energy Services before you do for an $88 AC start and check to make sure your AC is in tip-top shape. Griffith specializes in Carrier, but services all brands. Visit GriffithEnergyServices.com today. Your local Carrier expert. That's GriffithEnergyServices.com. License number MDHVACR01-2278.
Griffith Energy Services. Doggone.